Hello, it is June 22nd, 2015. You are looking live at Athens, Georgia. This is episode 512 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on Sports on Earth. I am the aforementioned Will Leach, and thank you for spending part of your day with me. We are back to a Footer and Leach podcast today on this day after Father's Day, though actually we are recording this on Father's Day, actually before all the games start on Sunday. So if something amazing has happened, this is post-Scherzer no-hitter, but pre, I don't know, did Matt Harvey throw a perfect game today? Maybe, if that happened. Congratulations, future people. You saw a Matt Harvey perfect game. I'll actually be at that game. In fact, we're actually doing this podcast before I head to Turner Field with my son, William, for a Father's Day baseball game. It starts at 5 p.m. Eastern. The kids can run the bases after the game, but they don't have the heart to tell young William that we are leaving before that happens. Not to leave a game early, but when you have a three-year-old and an hour and a half drive home, it's the way it works. Anyway, I'm here with Allison Footer. She, as many of you know, she has a history with the Astros. As many of you may or may not know, I have a little bit of a history with the Cardinals. So I wonder if we'll have anything to talk about the events of the last week at all today. Anyway, Footer and Leach. All right, Allison, before we get into the thing that I suspect, like yourself, have gotten plenty of emails and people from the tweet land, asking us to discuss a topic that you and I may have some opinions on and may somewhat have differing viewpoints on, a news story that I think is already over. I don't know why the media keeps contributing to it, but we'll get into that one in a second. First, I want to talk about Max Scherzer. I think that was the big thing that happened yesterday, or happened on Saturday. That was the perfect game that wasn't, the controversy, quote-unquote, of whether Jose Tabata?
Yeah.
Sure.
Tabata?
Tabata sounds right.
Let's do that.
Sounds good. Tabata. No, Tabata is better. And I don't trust what Bob Carpenter told me on that one, so I'm just going to go with Tabata. Let's just call him Jose. When the question of, first off, there's several angles to this. One, did he try to lean into the pitch? Let's just go one by one. First off, one, do you think he tried to not get out of the way, not get out of the way, but to actively lean into the pitch?
I did not see it as him actively leaning into the pitch. I did, if we're going frame by frame here, that is my initial answer. No, I did not see him as leaning into the pitch.
Yeah, which is funny because I think in real time, nobody thought he leaned into the pitch. It wasn't until the people saw it, because of course, one of my favorite things about, the world of replay has changed sports in so many ways. It's made this all kind of wonky and pedantic about a lot of things. And I like it when it gets a big call right, but it's also turned this into, I don't know, sometimes it a little bit more wonkish than we probably should be. But I love that when we because we have access to a freeze frame like this, we assume that the brain of the people involved in this play is also moving at that pace.
Exactly.
And it is strange because certainly when you look at it frame by frame, it looks like, oh, he could have gotten out of the way of that.
Oh, he totally could have gotten out of the way. But, that wasn't your question.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so you know, exactly. So you're right. I also do not think he leaned into it. Two, do you think he purposely did not get out of the way?
Absolutely.
You do? I don't think so. Okay, I thought we were on the same page on this, but we might not be. I think he could have gotten out of the way.
Of course.
Like, theoretically. I guess by just starting running away from the batter's box when he got in the lineup, in his windup, yes, that could have theoretically gotten out of the way. But I think in real time, you know, Scherzer's been throwing 95, 96, 97, and all of a sudden you get a breaking ball, and the reaction is to kind of turn a little bit. And, like, to me, as fast as everything's moving, the idea that, I guess if he'd have spun completely out of the way, but when you got a pitcher as good as Scherzer, the idea that he should be expected. You think he purposely did not get out of the way?
I mean, I just think that, like, his initial instinct would be to get. I mean, I think that, yes, I think in another situation, I believe that he would have flinched or gone backward or something to get out of the way. I don't think. I mean, we're talking about what, an eighth of a second that he has to decide. I'm not, like, blaming him or saying, like, that he did anything wrong. It's just like he clearly did not try to get out of the way. And when you have a ball coming at you, your initial instinct is to try to get out of the way.
But it was a weird pitch.
By a pitch, most guys that are hit by pitches don't have time to get out of the way.
Right, right.
And I don't know that he would have had like an abundance of time to get out of the way, but I certainly think that in that eighth of a second that he made a conscious decision to not move.
Yeah, because that seems to be the prevailing sentiment. Right. I disagree, but for a couple of reasons. One, like, you know, we're not talking about Tony Gwynn here.
Right.
Like, Tavana is not exactly known for his ability to, like, if Tony Gwynn or Matt Carpenter or Jose Altuve could not get out of the way of that pitch, I think they could have gotten out of the way of that pitch. I think we're giving Jose Tavana a lot of credit that maybe his lifelong ability to recognize and hit pitches has not necessarily warranted. But
that's fair.
But also that may be me being snide. You know,
I think that anybody who gets to the level that Major League Baseball, if you're able to recognize a pitch coming at you that fast to know what is coming or to be able to see what's coming and to be able to make contact with a pitch like that, if you get to that level, then you have instincts and, you know, maybe eyesight and ability that, you know, the normal person doesn't have. And I believe he could have gotten out of the way if he really had wanted to. I don't blame him. By the way,
We'll get to that in a second. I want to talk about that too. But more still focus on whether he could. Certainly he could have. Whether he should. The question is whether he purposely did not get out of the way. And for me, on one end, I think I'm just kind of being silly about saying he's not a good enough hitter. But more to the point, I also kind of think that, you know, expecting, you know, Scherzer's been throwing so hard. He's throwing 97, 98 in the ninth. Everyone's all fired up. He's not throwing him a breaking ball in that at-bat. And also, like, Scherzer's shaking off pitches. So there's all sorts of weird things going on. Like, this is not – he kind of hung into the at-bat a little longer than I think people thought. And, yeah, you know, so all of a sudden Scherzer throws a pitch that's entirely different than the four or five he'd thrown beforehand. Like, Tavana's, like, focused it impressively, by the way. I just assumed, like everybody else, that Scherzer was going to throw a 98-mile-an-hour fastball by him. Like, right. I think we all thought it was going to happen. So, but he decides to throw a pitch that is, you know, this not like this ball was close to the plate. Like, it was clearly inside, clearly into his space. I saw Brett Anderson said something about this on, is it Brett Anderson or Brandon McCarthy? Whichever one's really good, they're both really good at Twitter and both Dodgers. So sometimes I morph them together a little bit. And they're both hurt a lot.
Yes.
So, it's very confusing. They're like, I usually don't like athletes on Twitter, but the two of them are particularly good and particularly smart and very
McCarthy
funny.
McCarthy is just a comedian.
They're just both awesome, but I just get them confused because it's like the idea that like it's as if like two football players were really smart, but they were both punters. It's just like, yeah, I can't. It's hard for me to keep you guys straight. You're both are funny, so it's hard to put that together. But one of them, and you'll have to forgive me, I don't remember which. Had said, listen, he was in the batter's box. Like, this was not, like, he wasn't even leaning over. This was a pitch that was clearly inside.
Oh, for sure.
And one that got away from Scherzer. It was a bad pitch. Like,
it was.
And so, for me, you know, I think if this happens in the fourth inning of a game, nobody is like, oh, he dove into it, or no, he didn't get out of the way. It's just because of the situation that we're all freaked out about. And to me, that when you take context out, it's a very reasonable pitch to get hit by, and therefore I want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
And it's not Tabata's job, by the way,
right,
to ensure that Max Scherzer gets a perfect game. I mean, he is up there trying to get on base. In any way possible, he is up there to try to make sure that a perfect game / no-hitter / loss does not happen.
Yeah, I know. I love the reaction. People are mad at him because, hey, I was having fun. Come on,
exactly.
I was having fun. And it's like, hey, yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely agree with that. Definitely agree with that. So which brings us into the next idea, and because I agree. I think that, like, no matter what, so do you think it was, this? You saw a lot of this, was it Bush League or was it classless to do that?
No, it wasn't Bush League. It wasn't classless. And the thing that made me laugh, and of course, being in Houston, and I know what it takes to rankle up there. A lot of my Twitter followers are Astros fans, and of course, I said, I'm assuming that all of you that are outraged at this are not the same ones who were defending Craig Biggio for literally never moving out of
right.
a hit by pitch. He broke the record. He's the all-time record for hit by pitches. It was a really fun story to cover. He got a Band-Aid company sent him a box of Band-Aids. He gave me one of the boxes. I still have it. It's great. He never got out of the way. And he wore the body armor, and it made opposing teams really, really mad. And so, of course, the response people on Twitter is an absurd response, which is he never did that when there was two outs for the game. It's like he never didn't do that in that situation. Yeah. So the whole argument was silliness. But the point being that if you're a Nationals fan, it's Bush League, and if you're a Pirates fan, it's playing the game right. So yeah. it's all silly. He got hit by a pitch, like you said, it wasn't a good pitch. We were all expecting a fastball, and it happened. The thing that I find fascinating. It was up to two people to try to reverse this. Matt Williams to try to get to challenge it and have it reviewed, and he wasn't going to do that because he did not want to ruin the rhythm of a guy who still has a no-hitter intact. And the umpire, who also it was kind of up to him to maybe make a call on that and say that he didn't make any effort to get out of the way of the pitch. And then there's an argument that ensues, and again there's a pause in the action, and that could mess up Max Scherzer, who's trying to make history here. So I found those two things extremely interesting. I think that Matt Williams absolutely made the right move to do nothing, and he got a no-hitter, and everything is fine.
Yeah, I another thing I liked about the way, I don't remember who the umpire was on that. I liked that he paused. Like, you could tell he paused for a second to be like, hey, did he not try to get out of the way? Is this something I can call? And then I think correctly. Because to me, that's another aspect of this. Imagine if he says, nope, get back in the box.
Yeah.
Like, that. Now we have a tainted perfect game, if he strikes him out. Like to me, that's, I don't see any reasonable way, even if we, and I don't think Tabitha did anything wrong, but even if you do think that, I don't know if I want to live in the universe where, nope, get back here, we're all having so much fun.
Right.
Get back in here, we're enjoying this. And to me, that's a lot worse. You know, this is why there aren't very many perfect games, because it's really hard. You can pitch like an incredible game, and then one pitch gets away and it hits a guy in the foot. That's why it's hard.
It's kind of like you're going to have to look at the replay. I mean, if you stop and you're trying to figure this thing out, you're going to have to look at the replay. And then, who knows what's going to happen after that, but was it worth it? Because there's no... For sure. I mean, there's really no discernible way to make it's a judgment call. It really is a complete 100% judgment call. And if you're talking about all of the players who have gotten hit by pitches who have not moved out of the batter's box, and some because they don't have time to react, how do you make the how do you establish the difference? And it's very, very difficult. So
yeah, and also we've all completely forgotten that Max Scherzer threw a no hitter. That was awesome.
Yeah, he got a no hitter,
and has now had two. Just ridiculous games in a row. I think someone compared it. I think I saw to Johnny Vandermeer's two no-hitters, and Scherzer like wiped him away. It's not even close how much he. And to me, it's funny because adding Scherzer. I remember a lot of people were saying now they've got Scherzer. Should they trade Strasburg? Should they? The Nationals are so stacked, and they're now still just a half game up with having Scherzer and Harper having all these great years. Imagine if Harper and Scherzer aren't there or aren't having these amazing years, they might be behind the Braves. So it's amazing kind of how important he's been for them.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, I still think that the Nationals are going to get extremely hot in August and September. I don't think there's going to be any question that they're going to run away with this division. But yeah, they have some injury issues right now, so some key players. But when everything comes back together, I just think, look out. I don't think that they're in any kind of danger at all. I think they're in a very fine position at this point.
Yeah, it's fine. Not even Mets fans really think that, like, they're not like, oh, we're in a race. I think they're looking more closely at what the Pirates and the Cubs and the Giants are doing.
The funny thing is that the Mets aren't close to any of the other wild card contenders, let alone the contender in their own division. But I mean, you put them up against just the teams that you just mentioned. I'm like, no.
Okay, well, that's all the news that happened this week. So we can
really
move
kind
on.
Of quiet week. Quiet.
Yeah, it has. Here's my story. Here's my discovery of that. I had just gotten back. I was in New York last week, and I'd written my column in the morning. I'd worked on some other things. I had some video stuff I had to do at Chelsea Market, the MLB offices, and I had some running around to do. And I went for a run. I came back. I ran across Manhattan Bridge. I'm feeling wonderful. I'm a very busy person. So when I get to a point where I'm like, all right, I'm ahead of schedule. Everything is good. I have a million things to do today, but right now we're on pace to get them all done and feel very satisfied and have a nice cool icy beverage to celebrate how well I've done today. Congratulations, me, at the end of the day. And I'm literally walking into my hotel room, and that's when the alert comes on. The second, that's the second New York Times alert to my phone in the last month that has completely rescrambled my entire day. The Bill Simmons getting fired one was the other one. This one may rescramble the next 25 years of my life, though.
Honestly, there have only been two times that I've ever gone on Twitter and thought that it was a hoax.
Yeah.
The Braves building a ballpark in the suburbs of Atlanta. I thought that was a total hoax. And the Cardinals being investigated by the FBI for possible corporate espionage.
Yeah, that is, and I'm still hoping it is. I think that I'm still holding out hope that this is that crazy Michael S. Schmidt. He's always playing pranks, always goofing around. So okay, so there are obviously two ways to look at this, and we're going to look at. I think we should look at the actual facts of the situation first, at least what we know, and then what the punishment might be or what we think it should be. We'll look at that first, and then we'll look at the stuff, and then we'll talk about like emotionally and how reputation wise all this, because I think they are two different things. And
yeah.
First off, you know, the Cardinals, there's a little bit, I feel like the story was starting to settle in a little bit to where we'd figured out kind of the parameters of it, that it was maybe two or three idiots hanging around the Jupiter hotel room because they didn't like Lunau or whatever. And listen, you know, Lunau is somewhat, as we have discussed before on this podcast, known as a somewhat polarizing figure.
Yes, I've heard polarizing come up about a dozen and a half times since this whole story came out in respect to Mr. Lunau.
Because they don't want to say he's a jerk and people don't like him. Like, that's why people say polarizing. Like, I don't know if Lunau is a jerk that people don't like him, but that is why people say polarizing.
Yes.
If you say I'm sure readers have been able to figure this out, as every single journalist uses polarizing to make themselves sound fair and normal. But what they are saying, what we are doing when we say polarizing, is that people think he's a jerk and don't like him.
Exactly.
That's what we're saying when we say polarizing. So he's a polarizing figure. And I say it that way because I'm a Cardinal fan. I don't want people to think I have a problem with the guy, because, hey, we have all kinds of players because of Jeff Lunau. So more to the point, it started to look like the story was going in that direction. Like Bill DeWitt, the Cardinals owner, and John Mozeliak said, we knew nothing about this. Well, this appears to, and even the story said it appeared like it was an isolated thing. They had the passwords, so on. So it feels like it was going that direction. And now Lunau has kind of come out and said, actually, we changed all of our passwords. I'm a tech executive. Like, I'm not an idiot. I think is a very convincing thing to say. And also, he kind of floated the notion that this could have been going on a little longer than maybe the parameters of some of the early stories on this has told. So what's funny is that, like, the way it kind of looks like it's happened so far, there was all this blow up in the beginning of, oh, the Cardinals cheated. And then the facts sort of came out, looked like, okay, this is less cheating than, like, I think Jeff Passan had the idea that they were trying to embarrass Lunau or so on. But now I have to say, with the stuff that Lunau is saying now, I think it kind of brings back up the possibility of this looking a little worse for the Cardinals than maybe that original idea maybe had come across.
Well, Evan Drellick from the Houston Chronicle, he's done some really, really good reporting on this. And I guess there have been three breaches as early as 2012, which would have been the year after Jeff was hired by the Astros. So, you know, I think that Jeff Lunau came over to the Astros and didn't change any passwords, I mean, that is ridiculous. No, I do not think that. But there appears to be, I don't know if it's just the way the system is set up, and this is not my area of expertise on the technical side, but it seemed to be very easy. It was more like a, not so much a hacking, but just as a obtaining information on the down low, because it was so easy to do. And so, you know, regardless of how it happened. Here's my other issue with this. There's this image that is being created, you know, from a Cardinal standpoint that, oh, it could have just been, you know, two low-level hooligans. You know, I'm sorry, but the St. Louis Cardinals have not, like, hired, you know, 22-year-old guys in Motley Crue t-shirts in
yeah,
the basement.
I agree.
Like, you know, ooh, let's do all this stuff that nobody knows we're doing. I'm sorry, they know, like, this is a major league organization, whether it's on the IT side or the baseball ops side, and they don't have you know, an abundance of just these, you know, rogue, free loading, ridiculous people on their staff. I mean, you can't go from saying that we are this, like, model franchise, this buttoned up, we say everything right, we do everything right, and then create this image of having a couple frat boys that are sitting in the you know, bowels of Busch Stadium breaking into another major league team's system. I'm sorry, I don't believe that for a second. Now, let me say, I do not believe that John Mozeliak or Bill DeWitt had any any knowledge that this was going on. I do believe that 95%, I am of belief that they did not know about this when it happened.
I think that's a pretty good way to put it across the board. Yeah. I think that I'm not necessarily sure that the ones saying we're so great, we're so great, we're so great, we're the model organization are the Cardinals. I think that may comes from the outside, but the Cardinals don't necessarily no, we're not, we're awful. I don't think they mind the compliment.
They'll agree with you in a heartbeat that they are.
Well, I think they'll quietly. No, I'm not. They'll be gritty about it. I agree. I agree on both counts. The idea that to me, there's two ways this goes, because I agree. The idea that this is just like a couple of interns farting around, I definitely agree with that. And one nice thing about this is it does feel like we're gonna find out.
Yes, we are finding out.
Yeah, this does not feel like some vague notion of we don't know, or it's not Deflategate for Carl. We're going to get an answer as to what happened here. And how many people knew about it. And to me, the nightmare scenario, as a Cardinal fan, the nightmare scenario is that Mosley did know, or it got up relatively high. If that case, that is a whole planet. But to me, that is the most destructive thing that can happen, because then you actually can, and not only did Mosley know, but they were actually finding information and trying to use it. I don't think that's likely. I don't think that's actually what's happening. But if that were happening, that is like that's the nightmare scenario. And at that point, I'm not sure there's any punishment save from taking away old World Series that's not on the table.
First of all, that would be the least of their worries. If that's the case, then there could be arrests made, and there could be jail time. And that's the thing that I think that people need to understand from a baseball standpoint is this is not a Major League Baseball investigation right now. This is an FBI investigation. Right. Yeah, and Major League Baseball is off to the side waiting to see what happens. And Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, when, let's say, the worst case scenario does happen, now he's got to, with an unprecedented background on this, figure out what kind of punishments there are.
Can I say, by the way, how happy I am that Roger Goodell is not the one actually in charge of this? There's actually a notion of, let's just find out what happened. Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's find out what happened. And again, the Ray Rice situation, which is what we usually say when him reacting without knowing everything, is a bad example, because there was nationwide fury for him to make some sort of action. They were in the middle of the season. No one expects him to not let the Cardinals play.
Right.
The
difference is, Roger Goodell is a buffoon.
Yes.
And
well, that
Rob
too.
Manfred is a truly capable commissioner. I don't think that there's going to be any bad decision-making, but there is a lot of truth is going to come out, and then it's, okay, now what? And I truly hope, I'm not a Cardinals fan. But I truly hope that it isn't something that was coming from the top that they knew about. I truly hope that John Mozeliak does not get thrown out of the game. I mean, nobody wants that to happen, and I hope that the Astros handle it in a dignified manner and are not just looking seeking for revenge or for blood. That being said, the notion that the Cardinals really wouldn't, I mean, I don't know, Jeff Luhnow's explanation, things move so quickly that any kind of information from 3 days ago is now outdated, and I wouldn't even want to hack into anybody because that information wouldn't even be usable. I find that to be completely disingenuous. I feel that they probably have a ton of information on every, if they are so so detailed in their research, they probably have detailed information on every single player in the major leagues and every single prospect, every single top college player. I mean, there's a lot of information that could be useful to a lot of different people. So to say that there wouldn't be any reason to hack into another system, I find that very disingenuous.
And the first thing to respond, I can tell you, I can say with 100% certainty, when you said nobody wants to see Mozeliak, there are people that would love to see the St. Louis Cardinals burn to the ground. And I thought there was a very, very funny comment on Hardball Talk where someone's pointing out, listen, I think that we've clearly seen at this point that what happens is the Cardinals need to be banded, the players need to all be thrown in jail, they need to burn down Busch Stadium.
Let me just say that, while there are a lot of people that want to see the Cardinals burn, and a lot of people are taking... they're just finding it, very satisfying that the Cardinals fans have been knocked down a notch or two. But I want to say that John Mozeliak is a decent, very upstanding. I find him to be way above any of this. And so I do not want to see John Mozeliak as the human being taking responsibility if he has nothing to do with this responsibility, even though it is the St. Louis Cardinals, who a lot of people would like to see just have a couple little blemishes on their historical record.
Of course, of course. And I understand that. And we'll get to that after we finish this last part, because I want to talk a little bit about the Cardinals and the reputation side of this. Because one thing I do think is important is no matter – unless nothing happened, unless this is all just some weird misunderstanding, if there was which seems very unlikely, if there was a cardinal breach of the system, I gotta say, even if they got no good information out of it, and even if it was just a prank, I kind of feel like you need to hit the Cardinals pretty hard.
Yeah,
and obviously it makes my stomach turn a little bit to say that, but you kind of do, if just because, you can't. I mean, to think of what this kind of opens up, regardless of, and I'm not saying you need to because the people are going to go to jail or so on. But to me, I feel like whatever punishment, and Fangraphs had a good post on what some punishments could be. It talked about maybe taking away some draft picks, big financial fines. But to me, that is. Because it's not so much the issues of this incident as much as it is what this could mean in the future.
Right.
And so I think they got to get hammered a little bit. It doesn't make me happy to say that, but it does mean they have to get hammered. Now, to me, the only part of this, it frustrates me as a Cardinal fan because I like the Cardinals, and it's going to upset me when they get material punishments, not because they will be wrong, but because I want my team to win. It will make it more likely that they won't win. So... and I think it's actually kind of one of the things that's been, talking to a lot of Cardinal fans on this, I find myself very easily, I've been able to find out quickly, oh, you're one of the bad guys. You're the one that people are talking about when I'm talking to Cardinal fans, when they're like, oh, they're just out to get us. And this has been a minority. I've not heard very many Cardinal fans say this. I think most people recognize that. That there needs to be some, this is a big deal. This is not out of vengeance or to get back or jealousy or anything like that. But certainly, I think when I hear someone say that, I'm like, okay, well, you're the crappy kind of fan. Go away. You're the one that make this all look bad. But to me, the most frustrating thing to me is if it turns out that this is just a couple of idiots doing this, or there was never actually any financial advantage, competitive advantage, the thing that's frustrating for me is the same reason it's frustrating for Patriots fans. It doesn't actually matter in the national conversation now. The Cardinals are going to be labeled cheaters for a really long time. And
right.
And everything they've seen is is going to be seen through suspect eyes. To me, it's not even so much nobody liking the Cardinals. I've made my peace with that over the last 2 or 3 years. To me, it is the frustration of if the Cardinals win the World Series this year, for me to enjoy it is going to have to require me to go in a bunker with only other Cardinals fans. That I can appreciate the thing. And to me, that is what makes me the most angry about this, and most angry with the people involved in it, is that what this, regardless of whether you like the Cardinals or not, what this organization has accomplished over, frankly, 20 years now is really amazing. They've been to half of the last 20 years at LCS. And, that is an amazing accomplishment that now, fairly, I think unfairly, but it doesn't really matter, is going to be put under suspect in some people's eyes. And they really have no one to blame but themselves.
Right. And I honestly don't even think that they have gained a competitive advantage from any information that they may have. I really just don't. And I don't know that it even filtered up to the top, because then how do you explain how you came up with this information? So I do kind of lean toward just the idea that they were trying to embarrass Jeff Luhnow because they don't like him. I mean, there's a lot of animosity toward him, basically, one, because he has in his subtle ways verbally made sure that people understand how much credit he deserves for the Cardinals' success, which, rubs people the wrong way. I mean,
no, he does. Just to be as clear as possible, he does deserve
a lot. Also, because he's really, really good.
Yeah, right. He totally deserves a lot of it, right.
He killed the draft, every year. I mean, there is no question about the body of work that man put together during those years with the Cardinals, and that also makes people really mad. And when he left to go to the Astros, the Cardinals were very irked by the fact that he was getting all of the credit for all of the Cardinals' success, which made the people that are still with the Cardinals, the people that had a lot to do with it, and not just Luhnow. So there is kind of a vendetta against him, and let's knock him down a few notches. It's just a matter of how high up did it go? Did it go up to middle management? I mean, maybe it didn't go up to Mozeliak and DeWitt, but did it go up to maybe the assistant general managers or whatever, who was in this? And wouldn't that be just fascinating if this all comes out in October, and while they're hoisting up a pennant in a championship trophy, they're also like having, you know, half of their staff arrested.
That would be fun. Oh, that would be fantastic. I would love that. Oh, for crying out
loud. Oh, I would deserve it.
I'm sorry, but they, like, no, I would obviously not love that. But like, right. I have to say though, as much as I get frustrated by this, as much as I'm like, man, that stinks, and I feel like it would be unfair some of people's reactions to it. They totally would deserve it. Like, even if they didn't get a financial advantage of it, this, to me, that's the seriousness of whoever was involved. For them to not recognize the perils of what they were doing.
Yeah.
To me, I mean, it stinks if people think the Cardinals have an unfair advantage. Even if they haven't, it stinks that they do. But there's, again, the Cardinals have no one to blame but themselves.
And yeah, and just the fact that, like, who would have ever thought the Cardinals could possibly be this stupid? I mean, it's right. just yeah. so stupid. Yeah. Like, do something else with your time while you're on the payroll. Like, what are you doing? Just that, but it really chilled me the bone when I read that, like, you know, that FBI agents were confiscating a lot of the computers of the Cardinals. I'm like, wow, what in the world is going? What yeah. is what is happening? Yeah. What is happening? It's crazy.
Oh man, it's been a long week, and I'll say that, like, but to me, that is the important thing. Is that, like, you know, if we get a Cardinals Astros World Series this year.
It's beautiful.
And it's not like, it's funny because, like, you know, 2 years ago, I'd be like, well, obviously, not going to have a Cardinals.
Right.
World Series. But, like, but now, and, like, forget, never minding the fact, but, you know, I mean, you may remember 10 years ago, you wrote a great story about this, about 11 years ago, about the Cardinals and Astros have actually this incredible postseason history and this yes. incredible division history that kind of lost when they went to the American League. I'm not sure. I'll put it this way. You know, you and I have talked about, you know, how a lot of the Astros brass, when they kind of came in and took over, they rubbed a lot of people in Houston the wrong way with some of the way they handled situations, some of the way they handled the TV stuff. That will not be remembered,
right?
If the Astros and the Cardinals play in the World Series,
because
everyone will love the Astros and Lunau. Lunau, the polarizing figure that he is, he's never been more popular than he's been this week.
Oh no, and I mean, really, like, Houston fans, I mean, it's not really showing up in attendance quite yet, even though they have been drawing some better crowds, but they're definitely, I mean, people are, you know, forgetting a lot about what happened in the last few years. And it's going to take probably winning the division, which I think they have a really good chance to do.
Yeah, totally.
And it's going, I mean, I don't think that they're done yet tweaking this roster, so Jed Lowry's going to come back, he's probably going to play third base, they're probably going to get a starting pitcher, and all of a sudden, it's like, are you serious? Are these guys really going to win this division? And I think the answer is yes. So, yeah, Jeff Luno is a pretty popular guy in Houston these days.
Man, Cardinal. Now, I have to say, I do. The only sad part is if the Cardinals and Astros do play in the World Series, we may have to quit this podcast after it's over.
Why?
Because it'll be too much. We'll be peaked. Like, at that point, like, if the Cardinals and Astros play in the World Series, we will have spent so much time leading up to that and so much time discussing it, so much afterwards. I feel like afterwards it's like, you know, it's it's like Breaking Bad. You can't just, like, we'll have to do a spinoff podcast.
Well, we can just have A-Rod conversations for a couple of months until we're recovered. We'll just talk about A-Rod and Pete Rose until we can't talk.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so now I just got a bloody nose when you said that. So thank you for that. All right, well, okay, so there we go. So I think we're generally all on the same page here when it comes to Cardinals Astros stuff. So see, we are not, even though you and Nizola and I all have somewhat different viewpoints on this, I think we're all on the same page that the Cardinals are absolute idiots for doing this, and they deserve, I'm sorry, but, like, it's very frustrating to me when I see Cardinal fans, see some of my fellow Cardinals fans kind of, like, huddling up and being like, leave us alone! Like, because, you know, Cardinal fans aren't used to being hated. This is why they keep getting picked on. Because we're so whiny about it. And so for me to see, I feel like it's one thing. I've often defended the Cardinal fan. Not every Cardinal fan thinks they're the best fan in baseball. They just want to root for their team. They just want to be happy. To me, this is indefensible in a way that I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to worry about the games and not try to defend these idiots that are, you know, teams are a public trust, man.
Right.
You know, in like 20 years, the owners are going to be gone. The players are going to be gone. The managers are going to be gone. The executives are going to be gone. But the fans are still going to be here.
And the teams are still going to be here.
Yeah, exactly.
Explain to these people. Yeah, it's like, no, the team might belong to you, like, by law, but the team belongs to the city.
Yeah, you're going to be gone someday. Just
passing through.
Yes, exactly right. And for me, that's what makes me most angry about the people that did this, is you messed with this thing that people long before you cared about and will care about long after you're gone. To me, that is the thing. That's why I joked on Twitter that I wanted to throw them off the arch. That seems maybe too harsh because there are tourists down there. But
can you imagine, like, in another 5 years, like, the Royals fans and the Royals are going to be hated because they're so good? I mean, I can't even wrap my mind around that, but it's coming. Absolutely coming.
Totally. It totally is. Wow. I guess it happens fast now. It just happens quicker.
Yeah, and the Royals just started pounding everybody, like, literally pounding, not just by wins, but with their fists, like, in the first 5 weeks of the season. So I was like, wow, they're really just getting started on this whole thing. They want to be, like, the early 70s A's, like, right now.
And good for them. Good for them, man.
Of course, the early 70s A's were pounding each other, whereas the Royals were pounding opponents. So
all right. Well, we'll do it now. Next week, let's do our All-Star team. So have your All-Star team ready next week. We'll just pick our All-Star games. We'll just do our ballot.
I'm just going to do my American League ballot with commensurate to the way that the ballots are going officially by the fans of the United States of America. Okay. So mine are all going to be Royals.
Listen, I will. I mean, I am going to be picking all Cardinals. I mean, come on. But that's another thing. We can discuss that next week too.
They're not going to actually let that happen, are they? I mean, they're not going to let the entire lineup be Royals.
I was talking to someone about this last week. I feel like, and we can wrap up with this. I feel like Infante's got to go. If there's anybody that's got, like, I feel like that, if I would not be surprised to see Altuve pass Infante.
Yeah.
And then you've got Trout and the rest Royals. Because, like, some of those guys should be gone. Like, listen, it's hard to make an argument. Like, you know, Donaldson should be over Moustakas. I think there's an obvious one. But it's not like any of the other Royals are embarrassments. Like, the Royals are in first place. They're really good. So,
they're like ball players. Yeah, totally.
And so, for me, nothing is really that embarrassing as long as Trout is on there and Altuve or Kipnis, someone decent, is over Infante. Infante is the only one you look at and be like, listen, the Royals don't want him starting on their team.
Right.
Like, we don't want him start. So, for me, that's the, I think it's going to be okay. And honestly, I feel like part of the reason we're freaking out about this too is because it's the first year of the online-only ballots.
Right.
And I think people are, they see us, I think, I mean, listen, you and I both know, when Bowman gets trotted out to answer questions, people are taking this seriously.
Yeah.
And I do think, and I thought he mentioned it pretty well, the idea that, like, you know, we've thrown out, like, a ton of ballots. Like, I know you think that, like, oh, I just voted, I didn't get a, I voted and it went through, yay, like, I voted 500 times. You did not vote 500 times. Like, there are ways that they're actually kind of watching this, but I do, if those Royals players are getting the most votes, I'm sorry, this is America, man. Like, I think they can start. My guess is they'll throw out Infante. Either that, maybe they'll do it on the side, maybe we won't know, or maybe all of a sudden we'll get a ton of votes at the end. But to me, you could handle it. That's the only thing that would be really embarrassing. It's not embarrassing to have Mike Moustakas starting an All-Star game. He's having a good year. But
I don't think it's embarrassing, but I just think it's because I don't believe that this is just because the city of Kansas City has, just voted more than everybody else. I mean, there's definitely something that's not kosher going on.
I mean, maybe there is and maybe there isn't. I don't know. Right now, listen, the people that have been counting this stuff and the people that have putting this stuff together, and listen, these are smart. I mean, for crying out loud, this is not a rinky-dink company. This is not a thing that they've not dealt with before. To me, you know, I feel like I know it's embarrassing. If they wanted to fidget with this a little bit, they could have fidgeted with the last 2 or 3 weeks because this has gotten worse as they've gotten along. This is like, at first we're like, oh, it's the first ballot. That's okay. They'll all get equaled out. And then it's actually gotten worse each time it's gone along, so people get a little bit more panicked. I still think that I personally think this is – I think if there were a bot doing a bunch of things, it would be caught. I actually do believe that because it's not that – I mean, I guess suppose if it's Edward Snowden, you know, or Assange, they figured out ways to do it. If it's the deep web or Silk Road, they figured out a way to do it that way. But otherwise, I feel like you could actually catch these things. I do feel like it's become a thing now. Like, it's become more and more of a vote for more Royals, get more Royals in there. And I think it's actually okay, as long as we're all obeying by the same rules. Again, the only way it'll offend me is if Infante's in there, because that's the only one you're like, okay, now it's just the Royals and Trout. And that would suck.
The other thing is that Ned Yost, poor guy, he won't be able to actually, like, pick any of his pitchers.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, true. That is totally true. They won't be actually pick any of the guys.
I mean, you can't have like 15 Royals on the All-Star team, can you? I mean, I guess you can.
I guess you can. I mean, listen, there's got like 90 guys on each team anyway. So I actually thought about Ryan next week of trying to predict what the actual All-Star team would look like. But that's impossible. Like, not just the starts, but the whole way through, because this guy will get hurt and we just add another spot here and it'll be all confusing. So I feel like I actually kind of like the way it's going because – you know, there are certain things that feel like injustices. Like, frankly, Yadi Molina over Buster Posey is a pretty massive injustice. Not as massive as Infante over Kipnis or Altuve, but still a big one. You know, it's the All-Star game. You know, for me, the only worry about this is if it's just... I think if this were all Yankees rather than all Royals, I don't think people would be making a big deal out of it. I'll put it that way.
Oh, people would be madder about it.
People would be angry about it. But I think people would be less likely to think it's malfeasance.
Right, because they'd just be like, oh my God, everyone in this biggest city in America is voting 35 times.
I think is underestimating how crazy. Like Joe Posnanski wrote a great piece about this. Like, I feel like it underestimates how excited. You know, baseball is in many ways a regional sport. It's a collective regional sport. But, you know, it's all about the passion of your local fan base across the board. It's why this sport is doing so well and making so much money. For me, that is – right now, it's hard to find a regional fan base that's more excited than Kansas City.
Right.
And so I think that it makes a little bit of sense that way. But I think because – you don't spend a lot of time in Kansas City. I'd never been to Kansas City in my life until the World Series last year.
I love Kansas City.
Yeah, and I'm from the Midwest. So, like,
yes,
you know, like I should have. And so I think that there is – I think if this were the Yankees or the Red Sox, I think that people would be angrier, but I think people would be less suspicious. But I would I actually – maybe I'm a yokel. Maybe I'm a dope. I actually think this could legitimately be Kansas City fans stuffing a little bit, which to me, as far as I'm concerned – I'm actually okay with that, but as long as Infante doesn't get in.
Okay, well, I'm half convinced. You've actually swayed me to the other side.
Okay, well, we'll see. And then we'll talk about the ballots. We'll be like, crying out loud, why are there so many Royals? All right, well, we'll do this next week. We will pick our actual team that we'll put our team together next week of who we think we should be or who we'd like to see. We'll do just the starters next week. That'll be fun. And then we're getting close to where we get to do one of these from Cincinnati, which I'm really looking forward to.
Woohoo!
All right, well, thank you, Allison. Thank you for remaining cordial to this awful, evil Cardinals fan. So I appreciate that, as always.
Can't we just all be friends?
Listen, at this point, if a Cardinal fan says, hey, can't we all just get along? People just yell at them for being a smug jerk. Like, we've reached the point where literally there's nothing a Cardinal fan can say. Zilch. So I think I recommend all Cardinal fans to just be quiet. You have the best record in baseball. Enjoy it and shush. That is all I can say. All right. So thank you, Allison. I'll talk to you next week. It'll be fun.
Okay. Thanks,
all right.
Will.
Thank you to Allison Footer. Follow her on Twitter at Allison Footer, AllisonFooter. This is the Willie's Experience Podcast, Footer and Leach edition. We'll be back. No more podcasts between here and this week. I'm flying back to the Midwest to watch the Cardinals and Cubs next week, which I'm very excited about. I will be back with Allison on Sunday. Have a great week, everyone.